You're listening to the Cap and Haw Show.
Tim Beckman, I like Tim Beckman. I think he's a nice man. I've interviewed him. Tim, that's a weak move, man. Weak move. You're not even picking up the phone. No show. Weak. Weak.
Exhaust.
Take that Illini helmet down. It's on probation for the day.
Is it gone? Take it out?
Down. On the floor for the day.
Moving the Illini helmet.
The Illini helmet is moving.
We have just moved the Illinois helmet away from the table. Correct.
I can say that our academic standards have gone skyrocketing.
Oh. See, that's what happens. That's what happens. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Welcome back to the Cap and Haw Show. Comcast Sports at WGNplus.com. Thanks again, Tim Beckman. Enjoyed having him on yesterday on the program. By the way, on Twitter, David Haw, Mike Jacobson having roadkill for dinner tonight because they're tough. They won't eat a salad.
That still misses the point. We have some clever texters, though. 3126. Kale has been linked to hair loss.
Pretty good. I knew Brooke when she had long hair. Maybe that's the problem.
That's true. That's about when I started eating it.
That's good.
Let's go back to the phones.
Let's go to the phones. Thank you.
Ted is in Melrose Park, Illinois. Hey, is Kitty Land still there, Ted?
Hey, Ted.
Yes, it is.
It is?
I have a theory.
I love Kitty Land.
No. It's gone now. Now it's a Costco.
Oh, too bad. I loved Kitty Land.
You know what? I have a theory. I believe that receivers make great quarterbacks. You look at all the great quarterbacks, they always had super receivers. And you watch a game where this guy throws a ball 40 yards in the air, and it lands perfectly in his hand, in the receiver's hands. Why? Because the receiver was able to time it. If he was too slow, it's too fast. It's just like an outfielder. The great ones can make a catch, and they never run and stop. They run and they just glide to the ball because they know where the ball is going to be at the time. And I think great receivers have the same gift.
So how do you relate that to Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall then, Ted?
You know what? You watch the games. Have you ever seen them catch a ball where there was nobody on them right next to them? I mean, they're never in the open. Never in the open. You know, and the thing is, you are evaluating a one individual where there's two people involved. There's a thrower, there's a catcher. And suddenly you're saying the thrower is bad, but maybe it's the catcher's fault. These guys are running routes, and if he ain't running the right route, he's anticipating. He's throwing the ball before the guy makes his move. So if this guy isn't making an accurate move, he looks like an idiot. And you know what? What other sport can you evaluate one individual and blame him when there's two people involved?
Okay. Interesting idea, Ted. So I think I know what you're saying. Thanks for the phone call. Basically, he's saying that – what is he saying? That Brandon Marshall is partly why Jay Cutler has not succeeded.
Right, but where I disagree with him.
Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Okay, I thought that. And I think to some degree you can make the argument that Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey had a lot more difficulty creating separation this year than they did in 2013. Whether that was because of the play design, whether that was because defensive backs were sitting on their routes in a way that they weren't because they weren't afraid of getting beaten deep because the Bears didn't have a deep threat. There are a lot of factors that would make that the reason why they weren't open.
But he says wherever you see a great quarterback, you see great receivers.
Not true.
Totally agree with you.
Tom Brady has won 4 Super Bowls.
And they keep running guys in there. You go, who?
How many different eras have there been? You know, Tom Brady going back to the Wes Welker years.
To Randy Moss.
Randy Moss. Deion Branch was a Super Bowl MVP. He's out of the league. This year, Brandon LaFell. And Julian Edelman
and Danny Amendola.
And look back at Brett Favre. Did the receivers around Brett Favre make him the great quarterback he was? No. He made them great receivers.
Correct.
And I think that that was always the debate that Jerry Angelo had trying to find the magical, elusive starting quarterback. That he felt like, you know, one could make the other. But I think that you have a great quarterback and you worry less about the depth of your receiving core.
My big problem, and I've said this to Jerry when I've talked to him off the air, that he never, ever, we got Jay, they never surrounded him with an offensive line. They never put the weapons
around
him.
Well, Cap, we tried, but there were really no floors and ceilings.
they didn't. They stopped. That was always a problem. I think he would acknowledge that now. I think he has. Is that they got Jay Cutler, and then they exhaled, and they felt like, okay, we have the franchise quarterback we've never had. So it took them several years to try to surround him with, you know, talent that could get the most out of his arm and protect him in a way that would let him be that quarterback.
312-235-2525. Chad in Rantoul, Illinois. Hi, Chad. What's going on there, buddy?
Hey, Chad.
Hey, how y'all doing? I had a comment and a question real quick.
Okay.
My comment is I just wanted to thank y'all. Y'all, I'm a disabled vet. I can't work no more, but, you know, you guys are, you know, you do your job so good. You make me dread the weekends, you know. But, and my question's, you know, with Taj Gibson meaning so much to the Bulls and being so valuable to the Bulls, why would you think about trading him when you can just hit the waiver wire? Because every year there's good players let go on the waiver wire. Why don't you just wait?
It's an interesting take. Mark Sinowski talks about Andre Blatch.
Yes.
Who's coming back from China and being able to pick him up. But he also said move Gibson for Wilson Chandler to get better scoring, then getting
Sinowski Andre
Blatch.
Was suggesting that?
Yes.
I would. Chad, that's a really good phone call. Thanks for watching down there, and enjoy your weekend. But I think that I would not trade Taj Gibson. I can't believe Sinowski would be in favor of that.
He'd do that in a minute.
Why?
For Wilson Chandler to get better scoring, and then you bring Andre Blatch in to be the backup big man.
Back up a month. Let's back up a week. Let's back up, you know, three games, whatever. The Bulls offensively are pretty skilled this year. What is their biggest problem all season? Inconsistent defensive communication.
They're not exceptionally skilled offensively. They're good. They're better than they've been.
That hasn't been a problem this year.
Joe Keane's averaged 7.5 points a game.
Trading Taj Gibson, I think that you, as Casey Johnson pointed out, you have one of the most team-friendly contracts in the NBA. You have a young player who you drafted in the first round and developed into a guy who is as good of a sixth man as they come.
I would trade Noah if the right deal was out
there.
You're
nuts. You're out of your mind.
No, I'm not. Shinowski's in agreement with me. He's
you
an NBA
Shinowski
guy.
Could go coach the Chicago whatevers. I mean, come on. No, I like Mark Shinowski. I respect his wisdom, prudence, and judgment when it comes to NBA matters. It surprises me that he's on the same page as you on this.
Mark knows his nibba hoops.
Stop calling it nibba.
The nibba, baby.
The association.
The association. Mark knows his hoops. Look, you got to understand something.
You said Wilson Chandler for Taj Gibson?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. I like the idea that the DePaul homecoming, the symmetry, Chicago, that's a great human interest story. For a basketball purpose, it served none.
Really?
No, it doesn't. Not if you're getting rid of Taj Gibson and you're serious about winning and defending in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Taj Gibson is going to be there as a presence defensively on the glass and can hit a jump shot in the fourth quarter.
Wilson
yes.
Chandler out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, DePaul University.
I remember.
27 years old. 14 points a game. You're getting better scoring.
You're getting scoring.
6 rebounds a game. Wilson Chandler, and then you brought Andre Blatch in to be your backup big man?
Oh, now you're going with the unknowns, people you've never had 1 minute in a Bulls uniform, and you're going to count on them to take you where you want to go, and that's to the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Finals. I don't know how you're giving up so quickly on two guys. You want to trade Noah. You want to trade Taj. You have gotten amnesia. You've developed capnesia. You remember nothing about what these guys have meant to you as an organization. Capnesia is a new term I've just created today.
Do you not realize?
It's an affliction.
We've got a guy
averaging. The only cure is the weekend.
He averages 7.7 points a game, Noah. He's got bad knees, bad feet he's had. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Your team is spiraling in the wrong direction, and you need
something
to wake people up.
Trade him. You know, I'm surprised you're so loyal to your dogs, because you are in the disposable society. Let's just get rid of somebody who doesn't is a little bit hurt, playing through pain, and has bad numbers. And the past means nothing, so he must go.
You are unbelievable.
I mean, God forbid if your dog, like, pees on your front porch, and so all of a sudden, you know, it's to the pound the next day, because
he
had some good years, but now serves no purpose.
Wow.
I can't understand the Trade Noah stuff.
I'm telling you why. You're not going to re-sign him after next year. You're not.
You're going to win. You want to win now. You are in the win now mode.
No, this team's not winning. They are not winning.
You've determined that.
Yes.
Hold on. It's February, and you're going to tell me there's a 0% of the chance that the Bulls are going to win this year, right?
They're not winning.
0%.
That team has issues.
I know they have issues. Name me an NBA team that doesn't have issues. Really.
Yeah, weren't we talking about trading LeBron James a couple weeks ago? Kevin Love, he's got to get out of here.
Kevin Love.
No.
Yes, there were people saying LeBron's not happy in Cleveland.
He's not happy.
He might look out west again.
No, we talked about him opting out of his deal.
Opting out. Kevin Love opting out. There's dysfunction in Cleveland. They won 14 in a row, 13 in a row, whatever it is. 12 in a row, okay.
Your king stood at Twitter says, tell Haw that Triangelo impression just made me wet myself. That's pretty good, man.
I don't want you to wet yourself. I'm just kidding around.
That's pretty good.
I like Jerry, and he's been a great friend of the show. And I didn't mean to make fun of him. I wasn't trying to make fun of him. It was a flattery, right?
We do impersonations around here. That's part of the show.
Imitation is a sincerest form of flattery.
No question.
But you're crazy to trade Taj Gibson and Joakim Noah. Just absolutely nuts.
I didn't say Taj. That was Mark. I'd trade Noah.
But would you trade Taj?
The right deal.
Yeah. That's not the right deal. Do you think that's the right deal? Wilson Chandler for Taj Gibson.
Not a bad one. Take a time out. We'll come right back. It's Kevin Haw on Comcast Sportsnet.
Now, more Kevin Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN+.
We continue Kevin Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGNplus.com. A lot of hot hockey talk on this show. Edzo, great Eddie Olczyk, joins us on Monday here on the program. Right now we talk to JR, former Blackhawk star Jeremy Roenick of NBC Sports Network. JR, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Hey, Jeremy.
Here?
We're doing very well. Blackhawks are scuffling, lost two straight by shutout. First time since before the Kane and Taves era. People in this town a little panicky over the Hawks. Do you think that's warranted?
No. It's the Blackhawks, man. Everybody's going to go through ups and downs, and the Hawks have played a lot of hockey in the last couple of years. I've said that many times before. They have one of the deepest teams in the National Hockey League. And, you know, these are, again, we're just finishing, you know, the toughest times of the year right now. You know, it's one of those things where you're 50 games in, you're battling for a spot. I think the Hawks have a pretty firm grasp on their playoff spot. And you can lose interest very easily. It happens. And it's very difficult to stay at a high level for an 82-game season. You know, they can turn it on when they need to, and I'm sure that they will. But, you know, it's a good opportunity to play a team that's playing very well right now against the Jets tonight. So hopefully they can put a 60-minute effort together and start doing some good things.
Jeremy, the Hawks D-men have not been the most consistent of late, and I think maybe it's because of what you alluded to. It's the dog days of the season, and guys like Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, who have been through so much, are just going to have natural lapses. But I don't, you know, Johnny Oduya is not playing the greatest at the highest level. Do you think the Hawks should look around the league to see what's available and maybe make a deal for a veteran defenseman before the deadline?
I don't think so. I think that the Hawks D is one of the strongest in the league. If you look at their top four, you know, with Seabrook, Keith, and with Jarmelson and Oduya, I mean, those are four high quality defensemen that can play lots of minutes. You can interchange five and sixes, and even the five and six aren't bad. Roosevelt's pretty dependable. So I don't think they need to do that. I think if anything, you go out and you solidify a third or fourth liner, again, a winger, that you can bring into the mix. I think, like I said, they're one of the deepest teams in the league. I think it's up to them to play properly and play with more effort on a nightly basis coming into the playoffs and make sure that they come in playing well rather than coming in on skids.
JR, I talked to a former NHL coach who I happened to play some golf with and got to be friendly with, and I said, what's with the Hawks? He goes, look, they've got the deepest team, as you said. He goes, but they need a jolt. They need to make a fairly substantial move to jolt that team. He said, there's too much talent in the West. Yes, they have got great players, but he said, sometimes you got to change the scenery. He said they need to make a fairly substantial move because he said they're going to move somebody this summer anyway. He would move a core guy. Do you think that's crazy talk?
It possibly couldn't be crazy talk because if you're looking to make a jolt and you're looking to make a jolt that is going to bring somebody else in that is going to have an effect immediately, you're talking about your core players. And let me first preface by saying I don't want the Hawks to make a trade, period, and especially with some of my favorite guys. But the guys that they're going to be looking for and the guys that could possibly be available are – the Patrick Sharps, are the Seabrooks, the guys that are kind of the bubble guys that that make a lot of money, that will be very highly touted on the market. And, you know, those are tough guys to lose on a team that's been, you know, very strong with them in the lineup. I'm not a big fan of making a big splash and a big trade when you're really not that hurting. I think you tweak a little bit, but then again, that's just me.
Jeremy, your sense of the league as you look at it as a whole and in the West specifically, what have been your biggest surprises this year? Tonight, the Hawks play a Jets team that I think could qualify as one of those big surprises. They're going through a little bit of turmoil themselves right now. You look at them, you look at Nashville. I don't know which one you put as a higher surprise, but there are other teams out there that have maybe raised a few eyebrows.
Well, Nashville is the biggest surprise of the league, in my opinion, followed by the Islanders. I think, the way that Peter Laviolette has gone in and really set a really good system in there, is really established himself as a player coach, and the guys really respect him. I mean, if you watched the game last night where they got shelled, which was kind of surprising to the Ducks, Peter Laviolette calls his goalie over, Pecorine, in his first game and, has a chat with him. Do you want to come out? Stay in? How do you feel? Guys respect that, and guys are going to play hard for a guy like Peter Laviolette. So to me, Nashville is without a doubt the surprise of the league. In the East, I told you this, that I would not be surprised if Carson Snow gets the GM manager of the year this year for what he's done to turn his team around and get his team, in the top of the league. It's just, it's been really impressive watching them go and how much they went by with adversity. A lot of one-point games, a lot of overtimes, a lot of shootouts. Yeah, that's going to go a long way come playoff time for them.
Evander Kane, we're talking to Jeremy Roenick from NBCSN. Evander Kane shows up at the stadium in a tracksuit. They were told they had to wear a suit. Dustin Buffalo takes all his clothes and throws it in the shower. He goes AWOL. You don't see the guy. I think he missed a game. Then he didn't show up at practice. Then he didn't see him again. Now he's on IR, and reports are they're trying to trade him. What's your thoughts on Evander Kane?
Well, he's a great talent, without question. But he wants out of Winnipeg. You don't do the things that Evander has been doing if you don't want to kind of ruffle feathers and try to get a team to trade you. I mean, you don't do push-ups with $100 wads of cash on your back. You don't take the selfies with a brick of hundreds as a cell phone. Stupid show-off crap that does not fly in the National Hockey League. And I think he's doing it to try to get the team to get rid of him. I think he's tired of the where he is. I think he doesn't have the freedom to do what he wants, or maybe not getting the playing time that he wants up in Winnipeg. He had it free rein in Atlanta, and he liked it. Now all of a sudden the rain's get called back, and he's got an ego about him, and he doesn't like it, so he wants to get traded. And maybe they should trade him. They can get a lot for him, and a healthy, happy Evander Kane can really do some damage to a team that has a chance to win the Cup. He's a great player.
Jeremy, Teuvo Teravainen is getting a long look now with the Blackhawks, and he's to mixed results. Some days he looks like he's really a guy that's, you know, playing both ends and responsible two-way player. Other times, you know, it maybe drifts and disappears, and Joel Quenneville loses confidence, and like he does with a lot of young players. Where are you with him, and what are realistic expectations for Teuvo as the Hawks head for the stretch run?
Well, for one thing, he's got tremendous talent, and let's not take away his talent. He's young. He's coming over from another country, so he's got a lot of things going against him, and he's extremely small. I don't think he's very strong. He's definitely fast and very smart, but when he gets into the high traffic areas, it's very easy for him to pull up and get a little nervous. And those are the things that he has to get over. Talent-wise, the kid can play, and he makes great plays, and looks a little bit like Kane out there, the way he controls the puck and moves and makes plays. But he's gotta learn to play with big men and strong men, and not have the twitch in his game when it gets tough. Because if he can go into those really high traffic areas and be able to, you know, battle physically with some of the big defensemen, he's going to put the puck in net, and he's going to score points. But right now, I think he's a little in shock with the level that he's playing in right now. But I think he's going to be a very good player.
JR, appreciate the time. Keep up the good work at NBC.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
guys.
Jeremy.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you. Thanks. There he is, Jeremy Roenick, talking some hockey from NBCSN. Our guy Eddie Olczyk, our hockey mainstay, will be with us on Monday.
Look forward to talking to Eddie after what is a bigger weekend than it should be for the Blackhawks. Will they actually score again?
Hawks will win tonight 5-2.
Cappy, bold prediction.
4-2 or 5-2?
Winnipeg, this year, tough place to play. They love their Winnipeg Jets.
They will smother Winnipeg tonight.
Homecoming for?
Gianni Tate.
Who else?
I don't know.
Winnipeg natives. Patrick Sharp.
Oh, that's
born
right.
In Winnipeg. Also, Duncan Keith.
Wait, is Patrick Sharp from Winnipeg?
He did. He's from Thunder Bay.
Yes.
But he was born in Winnipeg, where he was born. Sharp, as Paul Skrbina reports in this morning's Chicago Tribune, thanks for reading, Cap, Sharp's pit stop at home preceded a return to his earlier home in Winnipeg, where he was born. He and fellow Winnipeg natives Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith hope to bring some offense
correct,
with
but
them.
But he lives in Thunder Bay, Ontario, yeah, where yeah, he was
yeah,
raised.
Yeah, yeah.
Winnipeg's in, I believe, Manitoba.
Okay.
I know my provinces.
I know you know your provinces, eh?
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 The organization needs to make a move, eh?
Eh.
We'll take a time out and come right back. This is Cap and Haw.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Alongside David Haw, I'm David Kaplan, the Cap and Haw Show, weekdays 9 to noon here on Comcast Sports Net. I teased this a little bit ago. So there's an event going on up in Canada today, and they have a bunch of legends. Gordie Howe, who
yeah.
had stem cell transplant
right.
or stem cell work done, is up there. His family brought him up after the stroke, so it's amazing.
Somewhat miraculous that he's there.
Unbelievable. So they put out a picture, and there's Gordie Howe and Bobby Hall and Brett Hull and Wayne Gretzky and a few others. And Gretzky was asked a question. He said when he was a little kid, he had two players he loved, Gordie Howe and Bobby Hull. So he wrote them letters, sent them to their respective teams. Both guys wrote him back. He still has the letters.
That's cool.
Is that amazing?
That is. Well, those were the days where people actually wrote letters, and they didn't tweet at each other.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays...
Gordie, love your work. Hashtag fan.
Yeah. Love ya. Hashtag cool. Yeah, it's whatever. It's a different world. That is pretty cool that he kept the letters.
So he still has them. I thought that was amazing.
What's a memorabilia that, well, you're Mr. Memorabilia. You're mm-hmm. Mr. Piece of the Game.
Mm-hmm.
But is there something that you have from your youth as an athletic, either athletic or otherwise career that you value, treasure. I'm not a big trinket guy. I'm not a big souvenir guy. I'm not a big memorabilia guy. But I do have some stuff that, you know.
I've got my helmet from Hamlin.
Well, we've got that helmet here. So it's right over there.
Yeah. That means.
Off camera.
That means funny. That means something to me. I've got a baseball from a game I pitched that I got a win in.
Did you get hammered?
No, I got the win there. Okay. 2-1.
You walk the bases loaded and then get a guy to ground out to.
Wriggled off the hook.
Okay. Warning track.
I have the first, like one of my first gloves that my late father bought me. That means a lot to me. Those are probably the things.
High school letter jacket?
High school letter sweater.
Letter sweater?
Yeah.
Sweater. I'm sure you got a ton of stuff, Brooke.
I'm not a big memorabilia person, but I do have the first pair of Jordans I ever owned from fifth grade. I kept on, held on to them. I think I might
size
have.
Size 2 or what?
I'm sure they were like, yeah, probably size, you know, 3 or 4 in the
little, ones.
Little guy section, yeah. What else do I have? I know I have my Jordan Flight Club membership card. I have that. Do you remember the old orange, big orange, thick
plastic? What was the Jordan Flight Club? Is that some sort of shoe?
A t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
I want to say you got a calendar, maybe. Probably
I'm not a millennial, so I don't know that.
he had a membership, and then I was also a member of Agassi's fan club, too. But I don't remember what you got for that. But I would keep, like, the orange.
Didn't you throw all that stuff away when he just waved you off?
I don't think I renewed my membership, yeah.
I kept a pair of, speaking of shoes, black high-top Nike spikes.
Still have them?
Yeah, I did. Somewhere.
From how old?
I wore them in high school. Because I wanted to look even slower than I was.
So, wait, you were a wide receiver playing in high-top black shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look slow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wanted to look slow. And I didn't have to work that hard to do that. I was already, you know, challenged that way. But I kept that, you know, I grew up in Indiana. So when you win the high school sectional basketball at your high school, it's a big deal. I mean, it used to be a real big deal before class basketball.
Yeah, before everyone got a ribbon.
So you win.
They have a class for every school now, so everyone can feel like
a
champion.
Yes, they do. I love it, too. I used to advocate for that.
Stupidest thing they ever did.
So when I was in school way back when, we're a small school. We had a sectional at our gym, and we were a pretty good basketball team. And Kirk Manns and I combined for 56 points in the sectional final.
He had 54, you had 2.
He had 46. He had 46.
You had 10.
Yeah, yeah. And you cut down the net. Get on the ladder, you know, it's like, that's a cool thing.
So you got a piece of that?
I got a piece of that somewhere.
See, that I'm jealous of. Yeah. I've never
that's
cut
very
down
cool.
a net.
That's very cool. I have a recruiting letter that I kept, and I know this Notre Dame fans will love this. It's from Lou Holtz and Jerry Faust. And there was a transition there. And I that was right when I was coming out of high school. And I kept it because I thought that was pretty cool from Notre Dame. That never went anywhere, though. That was even before I was accused of being a Notre Dame hater.
Somewhere in the house, there's a letter that a coach wrote to me when I was coming out of high school. He thought I was the dad, and my dad was the player. And so my dad's name was Marshall. Dear Marshall, we're very interested in you. Tell your father, David, who I'm actually named after because my dad's late father was David. And he thought my dad was the baseball player. It's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny. That's pretty good.
So.
Your dad should have had him over for a visit and then walked out. Like, what do you think? Nice
funny.
To meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Whoa, you're the kid? So.
I kept a broken part of a broken bat. I don't know why I did that. I'm trying to think of stuff that's in a closet somewhere.
Like, I've got cool memorabilia that doesn't mean anything to anyone else. It means something to me. My wife got me a lithograph of Secretariat when we got engaged. It's not that one.
That one?
Way cooler one than that one.
Oh.
Signed by Ron Turcotte and the owner, Penny Chenery Tweedy. Got that, and then I have a piece of the original benches from the bleachers at Wrigley from when the stadium first opened. Pretty
That'd
cool.
That'd be pretty neat,
And a champagne bottle from the Hawks locker room when they won it and when the Cubs clinched the wild card back in 98. I think those are the two champagne bottles that I covered the locker room.
That was a Monday night against the Giants, right?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. I remember that.
How'd they catch the final out?
Third baseman Gary Gaetti.
Nope, pop up to Mark Grace.
Oh, was it really?
Off of late Rod.
Wasn't back. Gary Gaetti big on that team, though?
Hit a home run in that game.
I remember thinking, looking down, I was covering that game for the South Bend Tribune, looking down to the dining area there and looking at how the streets were just filled with people.
Unbelievable.
It was a wild card, basically.
Crazy. One of the coolest nights I've ever been to at Wrigley.
It was huge.
Cool sport event. Who threw out the first pitch?
Mr. Cobb.
Nope.
No? I forget.
Michael.
Did he really?
Michael came out in a Cubs jacket. It was amazing.
Because that would have been right after he retired.
Correct.
Because he would have been won his last title in June.
Of 98.
And shows up in September to tease fans into thinking, I'm still here, but I'm not here.
It's pretty cool.
That was a pretty cool night.
Let's go back to the phones. Joe's in Indiana. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Hall.
What's up, buddy?
What's up?
Hey, Brooke.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, guys. I got a hypothetical question here. Maybe a capothetical, if you will. Come to trade Castro to Seattle for, like, Taiwan Walker or Paxton, or they trade Castro with Castillo and Travis Wood and a prospect, try to get them both. And then maybe you don't have to sign Shields. And Baez will have a whole year at shortstop to figure out if he can do it or not.
Okay, Joe, that's a good scenario. Cap, what do you think? Thanks for the phone call, Joe. Trading Starlin Castro. Are the Cubs still going to talk about that? I don't think they should.
No, they're not.
If they would have, if they were going to do that, wouldn't they have done that already?
They would have moved him at the winter meetings.
Any moves of spring training you think will be notable if we, once we get past this James Shields situation?
Yes, they'll trade Castillo and probably Travis Wood.
Before they break for camp, because that's coming up. February 19th, I think, pitchers and catchers.
It could happen in camp.
Pitchers, catchers, and cappers report to spring training.
Correct. Before they get back here for April 5, I would be surprised if either of those guys are on the team.
How long are you staying out in Arizona this year? 2 or 3 weeks?
I'm hoping a month.
Okay.
That'll make you happy.
Remember that 1 year, though? You seemed like you were out there for like 2.5 weeks. There was 1 year, I think, that you like went, you came back, you went back.
Yeah, I was.
Like, where's Cap?
Yeah.
Arizona. Still.
Yeah, I was out there for, I went for 5, went and did 2 basketball games, did at CTL for a couple days, and went back for like another 10.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. You're out there. You like, what's not to like about Arizona?
It's phenomenal.
Except for when it rains.
By the way, one of our texters has an issue with JR.
What is it?
And I did want to correct JR. He said, JR said, tough game tonight. The Winnipeg's playing well. They've lost 5 in a row. And by the way, Evander Kane, according to Coach Paul Maurice, just announced, gone at least 4 to 6 months, shoulder surgery.
You want to call JR back and correct him?
No, pass.
I'm sure. Appreciate it.
Mitch in hometown. Hi, Mitch.
Good morning, guys.
Hey,
how
Mitch.
You doing?
What's
doing
up,
great.
Hey, hey, Brooke, glad to have you back.
Hey, Mitch, thank you.
I have one wild stat and 2 questions for you guys to kind of like argue over.
Okay.
Like Siskel and Ebert, which I love when you guys do that.
Which, who's who? But go ahead.
Stat,
thanks, Mitch.
Well, we could figure that out. But the stat that I can't believe in NBA, every MVP player that won that honor has been inducted into the Hall of Fame. Now, if Derrick Rose hadn't won the MVP, gotten hurt, playing the way he is, would he be benched? And the other one I have for mostly Cap is you got Edwin Jackson. I mean, the Sox had him for 2 years. I mean, I watch the Cubs. I'm a Sox fan. I'm kind of like bifannual, I guess. But after watching him pitch for the White Sox, how could they sign him to a 4-year, $52 million deal, and they got 2 years left at $13 million?
They panicked. They panicked thinking they were getting Anibal Sanchez, and they panicked. And they would admit to you, they jumped the gun.
That's James Shields' money right there.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't think that affects it, because they've got the payroll room to do this.
I hope not, because he's just terrible.
Who, Shields?
No,
Jackson.
Edwin Jackson.
Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson's awful. Yeah,
he's had 5 complete games in his entire career, spanning back to 2003.
Yeah, he's scuffling.
I mean, Brooke could get the ball over the plate and walk less than 7 guys in 4 innings.
Maybe. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate
Thanks,
it,
Mitch.
Bud.
Yeah, Brooke's sporting her guns today.
I have a T-shirt on. I don't know what you want me to do about it.
I'm getting some reactions.
The text, line. Brooke's sporting the guns.
What
do you have? Give a registration for those guns.
Oh my God. I'm so glad I'm going to Arizona today.
Yeah. She's
going
to be all tan.
You know, Mitch asked a good question about Derrick Rose, though. If he wasn't the former MVP, would you bench him? No, you wouldn't. He's not been that terrible. He's been disappointing. He's been inconsistent. But you watch him do the things that he can do at times. He still can take over a game in spurts. He's just got to be disciplined enough to know. Yeah, I think Brooke hit it yesterday. His shot selection is as poor as you would expect from a guy who hasn't played a lot of basketball the last 2 years. He doesn't seem to have that, you know, something's not right about the way he's making decisions. And that's the biggest issue. That's one of the biggest issues. The other one is that he takes possessions off defensively, and that hurts everybody because he doesn't have people behind him. Because while he's doing the El Toro to the point guard, Paul Gasol is doing the express lane
Olé
to the basket.
Exactly.
So that's a big problem. I wouldn't bench him, though.
All right, 312-235-2525. We'll grab a quick timeout. We'll do page two.
Page two.
Stuff that hasn't made the top of the charts, but is very important stuff to people as well. We'll come right back and do that.
Desperate for stories.
And this one is so compelling.
This is page two.
All right. Captain Hall, CSN Chicago. WGNplus.com, page two. And before we get to page two, we have pizza to celebrate. This is paying off a bet. This is my cousin Sean. You remember back Notre Dame played Florida State? My cousin Sean was in here with his son Sean.
Yeah.
Watching us.
Sean and Sean.
Sean and Sean. And you were talking trash about the Irish.
Yeah.
So he bet you. You like to bet lunch and you make a lot of bets. And actually people never really followed through. He follows through. He's a thorough guy.
Some do, some don't.
So he does. He wanted to send you Go Irish, I think is on there somewhere. Go
yeah,
ND.
Oh, I got ND. It's right
okay.
there.
Go it ND.
Says, Lou Malnati's best pizza in the world. Go ND.
Yes. So lunch is on my cousin Sean over at Bozak Honda in Highland. He's very, you know, was very distraught over that loss. But a bet's a bet. So we got pizza. Lunch
Thank
is on
you.
Him.
Lou Malnati's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, he knew it had to be that.
Because if I had any other kind, I'd be cheating on my wife.
Brooke wants to take your picture before she goes out of there.
What do you want me to do?
You don't even remember making that bet, do you? You
Hold
make
on.
So many bets.
Okay, there you go. No, I just didn't assume he'd ever pay it.
Why? Just see, people forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so he paid off the bet. Enjoy
Thank
the
you,
lunch.
Sean.
And everyone on the seventh floor will probably enjoy the
No question.
Yeah, I just hold on to these three boxes. There, yeah, Brooke, don't mind me.
Brooke's taking off early, and she's taking three of the four boxes.
So David goes, hey, I've got Lou Malnati's coming in today. And I almost got myself a pizza on the way home from Big Ten last night. I was craving pizza so bad and Lou Malnati's. So he saw me right when I got out of his car. On my car, I looked like a zombie. And then as soon as you told me about pizza, I'm like, sweet. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm ready for work.
I called Brooke last night, left her a message.
Uh-huh.
And I get a text back. I can't talk. I'm beyond gonzies. Isn't that what
you said? I said I'm dunzo.
Dunzies. Beyond dunzies.
What's that?
I was tired. I'm tired.
It's like throwing shade on it.
Yeah.
Is that sort
No,
of,
throwing shade is okay. like what you two do to each other for 3 hours. You just do it directly. Usually throwing shade is about...
Gibberish?
Giving somebody a little jab outside okay. of the room. It's like right. talking behind somebody's back, no?
Right. By the way, you did seem a bit beyond dunzies this morning walking out of your car.
Dunzo.
Yeah. No, dunzo. Dunzo.
Yeah, she's back when I walked in, you weren't in yet, and yeah. I saw Brooke, and she's like, yeah, I saw David this morning, and he looked like I was a little...
You did that commercial, like people are like walking like zombies.
Oh,
in the morning. Yeah.
I did. Because I woke up this morning, I had the migraine, so it's just like I was trying to get out of it. Took some Excedrin.
I cannot
coffee.
Believe it's snowing in Phoenix. It's so
I
sad.
Know,
bad.
Isn't that the worst?
So bad. Sorry about that.
Guys, I'm sending so
well,
many
Enjoy
shots.
The pizza. Anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we're even on that bet. You're even with my cousin on
awesome.
That bet.
Awesome. Thank you very
Good
much.
Good guy. All right.
Someone just asked, did they send me a kale or seaweed pizza?
That's what I was worried about with the kale. Now you're going to have to actually eat some real food. All right, let's get to page two.
All right, you want to go first?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
The back page of the Tribune today, Kurt Busch in the news again. So the ex-girlfriend of the NASCAR driver denies...
The assassin.
Yes. Well,
alleged
the alleged assassin be careful here, Cap. We'll get hear from our attorneys. She denies that she set out to destroy his career after he allegedly assaulted her. In her final written rebuttal regarding the request for no contact order, Patricia Driscoll, isn't she a CIA agent as well? Something like that? Or she was allegedly involved with CIA? She says Bush does not have a public relations problem, but instead has a domestic violence problem. So her claim is that Bush assaulted her in a motorhome, grabbed her by the throat, slammed her head against the wall three times, and she says she still fears for her safety while he fears for his safety because he claims that she is a scorned woman and a former trained assassin. Very strange. You can't make this stuff up. It's like a Lifetime movie.
How come you get the crumpled paper and I get that goofy
newspaper
bird?
I'm a newspaper guy.
Clippers guard Chris Paul critical of rookie female referee Lauren Holtkamp after receiving a technical foul and after the Clippers received five techs in all in the team's blowout loss to the Cavs Thursday night. The tech I got was ridiculous. That's terrible. There's no way that could be a technical. We try to get the ball fast every time down the court. We did that. She said, uh-uh. I said, why? Uh-uh. And she gave me a technical. That's ridiculous. If that's the case, this might not be for her.
Would he?
You tell her, Chris.
Would he say that about a rookie official or young official if he were a man?
I don't know.
No way. He might say,
I don't think
bad
so.
Call, but he wouldn't say this isn't for him.
Brooke, do you think that
right.
was...
Right, right. Yeah. I think
do you think by him saying for her,
specific.
That was... Well, again, I'm not certainly not defending his comment. He deserved what he got, and he didn't handle... It's surprising with Chris Paul because he's a classy player. But it is a woman trying something new for the first time. So is he referring to... Everybody knows about the fact that she's new at this.
Right. I think he is obviously calling out the difference in having a female ref. I mean, that's referees. That's another area where I always felt like, boy, I do not want to step into that world because what it is, and especially when you add a female to the mix in a place like the NBA, there's that power struggle. Mm-hmm. There's that, you know, trying to put your foot down. And I do think if I were a brand new ref in the NBA, I don't think that I would have the personality to say, I'm going to be quick to blow the whistle and blow a technical so I can kind of, you know, make my stance and you're going to respect my opinion. I would be more on the try to ease into it, maybe, you know, see what other referees are doing, how they're calling it, and then try to find my own style. But again, we don't know what
you don't know.
Led up to
you
that.
You don't know what led up
exactly.
to it. So what happens?
She's a good ref.
If
I've
he
seen
apologizes.
Her at college games and.
She's got
WNBA
a good reputation from what you read about. I'm not familiar with it. But if he apologizes, is that good? Is he good if he says, okay, I shouldn't have referred to
or
her.
Or he said, I would have said the same thing about a guy?
I don't think people would buy that.
Probably not.
Yeah, they wouldn't buy it. And I think it's kind of beyond him going back to even address it again to say, hey, I'm sorry I singled her out.
When they hired...
Just say it. Just say a bad call and leave it at that.
When they hired... Was her name Violet? Violet Palmer?
Yeah, she was
when
the first hired Violet, NBA ref, right?
I ripped it for this reason. If she's a good official, I don't care if she's a man or a woman.
Right.
Just don't do it so we can say, we're the first to have a female rep. Don't break the glass ceiling. Just get the right official and put her out there and it becomes invisible. Good officials no one knows about. And she has turned into a very, very accomplished official. Okay, my turn. Miami Dolphins knocking out seats at the 30-yard line, the lower bowl of the...
It's still your turn. You go ahead.
You did the last one.
No, I didn't. Go ahead.
Oh, did I do the last one?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. You want
to count and go.
Miami Dolphins knocking out seats on the 30-yard line in the lower bowl of the south side of Sun Life Stadium. It's part of a $400 million renovation, and they're adding 32 living rooms. The areas are sold in groups of four. Each includes a 30-inch wide recliner, an iPad, options for a 32-inch TV, $15,000 more, or four 24-inch TVs, $30,000 more. Standard cost of the package for four seats, including all food and drinks, access to a lounge area, is $75,000 a season.
Wow.
How awesome would
That's
that
pretty
be to
cool.
watch the game like that?
Yeah, that would be ideal.
That sounds great.
It does sound great.
That's perfect. Sick.
Nice find. All right, I'm staying local here. Little known fact. You know what's going on at Soldier Field this weekend?
Yes.
Outdoor hockey.
Correct.
How about that?
Yeah.
College hockey.
Sounds like a column.
Kind of off the radar. Well, maybe. I think we have it covered well. Phil Hirsch with the story on the back page of the Chicago Tribune this morning. Miami, Ohio against Western Michigan, 3 o'clock Saturday. It's on CSN, by the way. And number 14, Michigan versus Michigan State, 7 o'clock Saturday, both outdoor games at Soldier Field, which I think that is a novelty. A lot of hockey, great hockey fans in this area. This is a great hockey town. Not only Blackhawk fans, but youth hockey, a lot of support for youth hockey in the area. This is a great opportunity for people to have some, you know, go see some top first-class high-end hockey by top college programs at Soldier Field along the lakefront. So that is Saturday, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Give it a look.
Should be fun. Tiger Woods suffered another setback Thursday at the PGA Tour's Farmers Insurance Open, withdrawing yet again to an apparent back injury on the 12th hole, 2-over through 11, coming off his worst score as a pro in 82, missed the cut by 12 shots in Phoenix last week. In addition, according to Gossip Extra, a South Florida tabloid, Woods might still owe his ex-wife, Elin Nordegren, over $50 million as part of their divorce settlement. When he and Nordegren divorced in 2010, in the wake of the infamous car crash that exposed his secret life as a booty hound, Woods agreed to pay Nordegren an estimated $110 million over 6 years. According to his divorce settlement, he must pay her $54.5 million by Jan 15, 2016, where he loses his Jupiter Island home to her.
Please tell me that you added the word booty hound, because there's no professional writer that would write booty hound.
I'm reading to you from the story. Booty hound.
Is that the story or is that Mike Jacobson's notes in the story?
That is from the story, I believe.
Mr. Kale over
there. Or did you call him, Mike, a booty hound?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
Sheepish admission. I call him the big cat. Okay. Tiger's the big cat.
Okay, that's good.
By the way, just remember, as you go into your weekend, tell your kids, your husband, your wife, leadership is all about optics, too. David Haw, February 2015.
There we go.
We're out of here.
Take care. Have a good
weekend. Look forward to seeing you Monday.
Yep.
Brooke, enjoy Arizona.
All right. Well, see you later.